that would
okay.
be great.
I'm going to ask you to say it again.
Okay.
So everybody can hear.
Okay.
Okay, good. All right. Are we ready? Gradually the breaks get longer. Pretty soon we could have the whole morning session be one break. I'd like that. I'd have to do some work though. So I have a quick question. What did you learn on the break?
More happiness.
More happiness. Good answer. But of course, there's no bad answers. What did you learn on the break?
How to share.
All right. How to share. What else?
How to connect with the partner using the practice that you offered, and that it actually... there is something going on, and for me anyway, I got a true reflection.
Good.
My partner.
All right. Success.
Mildly excited about that.
Mildly excited.
Wildly excited.
The other way out.
Anybody else?
Allow discernment to be led by the heart.
Okay. Allow discernment to be led by the heart. That's a life's work.
Silence is golden.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I break that rule moment by moment, yes.
I should look after the C-station and still get my own tea.
Ah! The real lessons come out now. Very good. Very good.
That Pizzeria's moved to Richmond.
Yes.
That is the main teaching center now, far as I understand.
Pirzia moved to Richmond, and the Sufi order, the Inayati order, is now centered in Richmond, Virginia. They moved, it moved from the abode. For those who. Okay, anything else that's burning? Need to be expressed?
I would love if we could tune into the eye of the hurricane sometime with zikr or...
Yes, why would you love that? It's very chaotic.
Well, because I think it would calm it down. I really think if we could harness the energy of this group and do something useful with our energy, I think it would help.
So you think this is not useful?
No, but if we focused our intention and centered there, I think it would create peace for the hurricane.
Look, you've brought this up a few times,
and
I very gently have not done it. Now you should say to me, hey, how come you're not doing that?
Yeah. Hey, how come you're not hearing me?
Oh, I'm hearing you. I'm just not doing what you want to do. Because sometimes the road to hell is paved with good intention. And before we, either as a group or an individual, want to confront something of that magnitude and power, we best know what we're doing. Because when you try and still a beast like that, you have to have more power than the beast.
Well,
I'm not saying we don't. But before inviting us into that path, I want to make sure there are no negative repercussions for us, for this group. If you, as an individual, want to pray, I think that's wonderful. But I'm not sure that we, as a group, should pray as a group for it. Honestly, I don't know if it's the best thing. Now, our emotional nature says, what? Of course it's the best thing. We're all here. We should pray and we should do things. How could it hurt? Well, if you look at life, you see that it can hurt. And because in this instance, because I'm sitting in the chair here, I am bearing the responsibility, I won't do that until I feel either that we're ready or that we're not ready. And that's why I haven't done it. Look, I have a house there that very possibly could be blown to smithereens. And I have many students who stayed, dear friends, you know. And I would love to do everything to protect them. But I also would love to do everything to protect us. Not out of ego, just that's part of my role. So that's why I haven't done it. And it doesn't mean we won't. But when the time is right, we can. And when until that time, because it is my call, like it or not, then we won't. But to reiterate and repeat, anybody who wants to do anything individually, that's fantastic. You know, that's really fantastic. And it's powerful and valuable. But it might not be the best thing for everybody here.
And it's also that we don't necessarily need to see this storm as a bad thing. It could be the great big divine cleaning lady. Mm-hmm. And I've read a clairvoyance that when they see storms, there are lots of possible lines being driven ahead of these, like, clean-up thing, and it clears up all these possible lines, which are difficult and unfriendly entities. And then when the storm's gone through, it's actually cleaned them all up, and then after a storm, we always have a clarity and a beautiful, different energy. So this storm could simply be a divine cleaning lady, and we shouldn't interfere with her.
Well, I want to tell you a story. There was a very great Sufi teacher. He had thousands of students. And he had, kind of late in life, a daughter. Up until then, he had just sons. And he loved this little girl. She was the light of his life. She used to come and sit in his lap when he would teach. And one day, there was a terrible accident, and she was killed. And this teacher went into the darkest world of grief. And all of the students, all of the Marids were asking, you know, how could this be? He knows so much, he's teaching so much, and yet he can't come out of this grief. So finally, one of the students went to the teacher and said, oh, teacher, we students don't understand. You've taught us how to overcome the emotions. You've taught us the practices. We've seen you do so much miraculous things. Why are you still stuck in this grief? And he looked at him and he said, it was my daughter. You know, it's fine. I'm not saying we shouldn't look at it in the way you did. But if it was my daughter that was, God forbid, killed by the storm, I would not see it as a great cleaning lady. I mean that. Because it's my daughter. So we need to develop the viewpoint, which is very necessary, of overseeing, seeing the possibility for a great lesson to come out of this, at the same time not giving up the awareness there are people who are going to suffer.
Yeah. So we can pray for the people, but we
Well, perhaps. You know, I learned from Sam Lewis, when you don't know something, say perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps. And I really mean that, perhaps. Look, a storm is a manifestation of consciousness. There's no, in my feeling, there's no doubt about that. And I know that at this time on the earth, consciousness is shifting, and there is all kinds of things, thoughts circulating around. If we were in a different state, we could be much more harmonious with the weather and with every natural disaster. Earthquakes, storms, bad crop yields, all of those things are manifestations of our consciousness. What we can do is take the first steps to keep our consciousness, our hearts, our minds clear and not get caught by concepts. In an ideal world, any one of us should be able to stop that storm. In an ideal world. I actually know not many people, but I know at least two people who work on weather. They're not famous. Nobody knows about them. They're not in the U.S. They're not in Europe. They're not in Asia. But they work on weather effectively. But they can't work on everything. They just, as they said, we don't have permission. We can only work on what we can work on. And they're pretty good. I mean, I've seen things that are wondrous. So, we just need to listen. Always listen. We do the zikr. Zikr means remember. What are we remembering? Remember to listen. And then follow the spirit of guidance in each of us. Maybe you can stop the storm because you see it in a certain way. And, you know, maybe others won't see it that way, but maybe they can stop the storm. Maybe the dialogue can stop the storm. Maybe the storm is not meant to be stopped, you know. But each of us have to honor our own individual consciousness and follow it. You know, the guiding spirit of all souls does not say the same thing to everybody. So, it's a good question. Karima?
Will you comment on the relationship between boundaries and joy?
Yes. Karima asked me this question before, and it's so important. I have to give a little background. This is fundamental teachings that actually applies to storms, all natural disasters, come from the conflict between peace and joy. We don't even see that there's a conflict between peace and joy, and yet here are great beings teaching the same thing over and over again, the two different aspects of God. Two main aspects of God. One is stillness, and one is movement. Joy is movement, peace is stillness. And there needs to be a balance between peace and joy. When some people become moved, joyous, they want to pour their joy onto everybody. If that joy is not balanced by stillness, they, forgive me, but they really interfere with our boundary. And our boundary is what we have created to maintain our own peace. So there are people who are really ecstatic, but they actually almost harm other people by not honoring their boundary because they're in the ecstatic state. It's hard for us to understand this, but one must learn how to deal with a hal, with an ecstasy, as well as with a darkness. To maintain the balance in the midst of it. And it's interesting, some of you know Tibetan Buddhism quite well, and you know they have the dancers and the oracles. And the dancers, the ones who do the ceremonial dance and the oracles, rarely live past 35. Rarely, if ever, live past 35 years old. And why? Because they have sacrificed their life to be able to be an oracle or to do spiritual movement. And they can't live long. Because that balance is in there, which is necessary for longevity. They've given up their boundary. And that's a choice they made. You don't have to do it. But they know that this is what they're choosing to do with their life. So for us, even though at times it might hurt people's feelings, like someone offers you a gift, you don't have to take it. If it creates imbalance, you don't have to take it. And we need to develop, you were talking in Marie about discernment. We really need to know how to look and decide what should we do. And I don't mean the mechanics of taking a gift, you know. Stephen gave me a book yesterday, it weighs more than I do. But that's all right, because that's not out of balance. There's no glue. But sometimes someone will offer us something as a gift that is quite not helpful. And usually, in spiritual people, often it comes around to money. And, you know, you have to look at everything offered, even if it's desperately needed, and see, does this keep the balance or not? So that it's very, very important lesson to learn. It's not ungenerous to not receive a gift that you should not receive. Double negative, but you get the idea. Because the greatest gift is balance. That is by far the greatest gift. Now the question then comes up, what do you say? You know, how do you act? This is where life becomes an art, not a science. If it's in a structure like this, where people are consciously coming to grow, your answer is one thing. If it's in a different situation, sometimes, I don't know who said silence is golden, but sometimes silence is the best answer. Because once you take something, you can't then just turn around and give it away or throw it away or something. You've taken a part of someone, and then you have to deal with it. I mean, someone gave me a gift 2 or 3 years ago, and it's not very nice, but I have to keep it, because they gave it and I took it, and I had the option of not taking it, and I was asleep, and I just took it without thinking, have to keep it. And I can't hide it. You know, I have to keep it where I see it. So, but maybe it's like what Doug said, maybe that thing will become the most beautiful thing I have. Definitely a reminder. I don't go to sleep as easily now. When
maybe you can transmute it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe it'll be the most beautiful thing. Yeah.
So in relation to what you said, what about Sam Lewis or Joe Miller? And you're saying that yesterday you're saying that Joe Miller would be on somebody, you know, until they're out of their comfort zone. Where's the balance in that?
Joe Miller would be on someone about...
Or you're saying he would like sing to them or push them or whatever, they'd either stay or they'd leave.
Yeah, I actually don't remember what I said, but...
Well, challenging their point of view, challenging them to change their structure.
Well, as I said, if you go to a teacher in that structure, you're inviting the teacher to teach you. But if you haven't made that invitation, it's not the role of the teacher to step in. So... Hakeem, I did it again. Is it okay? Yeah. You know, all of this is so delicate. And we all look for these absolutes. There's a wonderful Sufi saying, rules are for fools. And yet we want to know, what do I do if? Whereas the real question is, who am I? If we know that question, we'll make mistakes. We'll hurt feelings. I always tell people, when I started teaching, quote, teaching, I think that I destroyed more lives than I helped. I made every mistake that you could make. And I learned, and some people are still not talking to me, you know, because I was so off base. And they sacrifice themselves. Now, I could make up some story that it's all for the best and so on, but it wasn't. I really hurt people. And that's part of the process. And you know who Milarepa was?
Yeah.
Great yogi Milarepa. His teacher was Marpa, the translator. He was probably the great yogic poet. And I don't have to tell the whole story, but basically, his family was very comfortable. They lived in a village. His father died. His uncle stole all the wealth and then threw them out of the village, he and his mother. And they were just living as wanderers because they had nothing. And as life grew, as he became in his late teens and early 20s, he went to a guru who taught him magic. And as soon as he learned the magic, he went up on a hillside overlooking his village and destroyed his village. Fire. He destroyed the whole village by magic. If you then know the story of his life, his teacher, Marpa, put him through hell. And he told them at the end why. He said, you destroyed a whole village. You know, we had to get rid of that karma. So, he learned, Milarepa learned, by doing an act that caused death. It's not neat, this thing about being human. It's not organized, it's not neat. It's a messy thing. It's like nature. Nature is messy. Things don't grow in straight lines. We make them grow in straight lines, but they don't grow that way. We like things very neat. Well, what do we find out? If you make the body so neat, you lose its ability to fight germs. Make the body too clean and it can't defend itself. Make the body too dirty and you get sick. So what's the secret? A little bit of balance. We like to go to extremes. You know, if you wash once a day, let's wash 10 times a day. And then that's not enough, and on we go. We get greater and greater antibacterial stuff, and we get sicker and sicker. Kind of weird. So, it's not neat, life. And it's not going to be neat. And if we make life too neat, frankly, we get too neurotic. Because it can never be neat enough. It can never be organized enough. If you make life too messy, what happens? You get too neurotic. Same thing. It's always balance. Sometimes regretfully, there's always balance. That's depressing, huh?
It's a balance for you.
Yes. Yes.
I know you probably don't have a neat answer for this question. It was interesting just before in the conversation when Greg was speaking about the clairvoyance perspective. I felt quite angry because it was it sounded like a very privileged statement to be able to see it as a grand cleaning lady. It's this question that sits with me a lot at the moment, is how do you reconcile privilege and spirituality?
Well, I don't have a neat answer. You're right. The question is, you know, before you were talking about the storm, and you saw it. You saw it as a potential cleaning lady, which, Rachel said, is a privilege to be able to see that. And how do you reconcile that with the, with those who can't see that way? Is that a good way to say it?
Yeah.
You know, it gives you a different platform to look at life. Now,
which maybe looks like people that don't have the privilege to leave the area when a hurricane is coming, or people that don't have the privilege to have a house that will stand up in a storm like that, or who won't have healthcare following a storm like that. That's real. Like you did say that. It's real. That will cause harm. It's not just like a fantastical opportunity for the planet.
It could cause death too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think your question is fundamental. Mm-hmm. How to reconcile the and it is a privilege of spiritual growth, and at the same time stay human, you know, not have answers. I see you. I would go back to the teachings really on kindness, because what affects privilege is not what we see, but what we do with what we see. So the more you see, the wiser you need to become, or what you see will cause harm. To have knowledge without wisdom is a very terrible thing. And I mean, I know plenty of people with different cities, different powers, who lack kindness, and they cause harm. And I learned early on from a teacher, we were discussing cities. You know what cities are? Spiritual powers. And he said, don't ever seek for one of the powers. He said, if you ever need a power, it'll come to you automatically. If it doesn't come to you, you don't need it. And over the years, this was a long time ago, over the years, it's proven true. If I've ever needed a certain power, it's there. If I don't need it, I don't seek it. I don't want to have it. Whatever it is, you know? So if you have the ability to be clairvoyant about things, even though Anayat Khan said, oh, that's child's play. But he also said, never seek this. Spiritual powers come. And if you have the power, then you need all the more wisdom and kindness. Or else you really can become a very obnoxious, unkind person. Because someone with wisdom is always trying to express their wisdom. And that's not wise. You know, it causes pain. But someone who has knowledge, real wisdom, they don't have a need to express it. Except if it's needed, they can express it. You know, I wish you all, I really mean this, I wish you all could come and work with us between Israel and Palestine. You'd learn so much, much more than you could learn here. But the primary thing to learn is see the other person, regardless of what they're saying or doing, see them. Because the pain there is that people are not seen. All you have to do is see them. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to comment. A few months ago, we had a massive flood in Lismore, near us in Barron Bay. And it was, I think, the biggest flood ever. You know, the levee built, things came over. I remember waking up about 4 a.m. in the morning going, the water's over the levee. I could just feel it, you know, pouring over. But what beautifully came out of that was all the compassion between the people. The authorities relaxed. I heard stories about how police would come to people. One band was having a party on the street at about 11 p.m. at night time, you know, just joining the people, smoking marijuana and all the rest of it. And the police just came up and said, hey, guys, this is great. You know, so,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Total compassion. And all around this morning, there's this beautiful heart, you know, have a heart. You know. So it's actually woven a lot more community together than was there already.
You know, I agree. I'm sure all of us have seen things like that. We just need to be artful. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Denise.
Oh, I was just moving my feet. Oh, it was a we've gone way past the port that I had.
Okay.
Cheers. Oh, actually, I'll bring it back up. It was when you were talking about Gibson and relationship to boundaries and joy and all of that, and you were talking about receiving gifts that when you were asleep, so in that moment there may have been attachments in the gift and blah blah blah, and how it sits here as a reminder. And it went through my mind. Done carefully, can you not give it back from where it came? It really is a disturbance, and upon reflection, done carefully and with the right intention, can you not give it back?
You know, I wouldn't answer that question because it does depend on the people involved. But, you know, the artist can paint any kind of picture they want, but they get used to painting certain kinds, their style, so to speak. But a great artist, they can do anything. So, of course, artfully it can happen.
If you choose that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Is there a relation to what you just said about the pain as of not being seen? I am sometimes in a position where I do see things. I'm an English teacher, and sometimes the person doesn't really have the English to express it, but I can see it even with the few words of English that they do have. And my question for myself is always, how do I let them know, and is it necessary to know? Maybe your answer will be, it depends on the person, depends on the situation.
No, I think, you know, because it's you, they know. I really mean that. because of who you are, what you are. By your being, they know. Even if they don't know the language. Or heart speaks to heart, soul speaks to soul. Over and over again, that comes out. So it just depends on who we are. And if we can stay awake. It's hard to stay awake. It's really, really very hard. I told Jamila when we were driving here this morning, it was very late last night, and I was trying to do this particular practice for the storm that you do 100 times. And I was counting on my fingers. I kept falling asleep. I kept not knowing where I was. I was getting upset that I couldn't stay awake and do this practice. It was so important. And then finally I just went to sleep. I said, well, I can't do this. I'm not going to do this. Because my struggle was not helping. And then I woke up an hour later. The practice was easy. I didn't even think about it. So if I was myself, the first time I did the practice, the first repetition, I would say, this is not the right time. And I would have stopped instead of kind of grinding against it. And when the timing was right, so we do have to listen to ourselves. You know? Then others listen to us. Well, I think let's stop. It's enough. And we'll start again at 1:30. But everybody just join hands for a second if you wish. No, it's okay. It's okay. As long as someone's touching someone. And just feel the room and feel the atmosphere. Feel our fellow human beings. And if you wish, if it feels right, to pray for the people and places and animals that could be affected by this storm, including the ones that already were, then do that prayer silently. If you feel it's not your time to do that, don't do it. And don't feel guilty if you don't do it. May all